Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. Today, we're doing this by audio, but we are with you, and we will be reporting as usual. And we have our co-host, Daniel McAdams, on the line. Daniel, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. It's good to be here doing the show.
Good. A new format for the day. And yet the subject is similar all the time. The defense of liberty, we know about that. That's the big picture. The smaller picture has been in the last year that has gained most attention has been the story about COVID and the lockdown, which we've been highly critical of. But I think today, Daniel, we have a few things that we can say that maybe there's light at the end of the tunnel, but never let your guard down. So
yes,
we will be talking about that. And Daniel, we talked a little while ago about our friend putting out some press clips on a subject, and that's Thomas Massie. He talked a little bit about his favorite organization, the CDC. And he had a little suggestion. I think it's touching on the right direction. He's not quite up with us on just saying fire Fauci. Yeah, he says that's a good idea, but fire them all, everybody.
Yeah.
You know, all the whole leadership. And I think that sounds pretty good to me, Daniel. But I might, after that's done, I think he should go the next step, get rid of the CDC.
Yeah.
I think the analogy was I'm always, and so many supporters support auditing the Fed. Not that that will satisfy us, it's just to expose them. And then after you know about the Fed, you get rid of it. So that's about what we need to do. That doesn't mean that every single function has to be totally eliminated, but it means that the bureaucracy has to be eliminated. And this is a big bureaucracy. When you think the highest paid official of all the bureaucracy in the country is the guy that runs the CDC, and that's Fauci. So that should annoy a lot of people. And Daniel, I think people are waking up. And Thomas makes a few good points here today with his little comments, because he's been on this early on. It's not a Johnny come lately. He wasn't in favor of all this nonsense ever. So I think that's a step in the right direction, certainly.
Yes, and he tweeted out earlier, if the government response to this virus has taught us anything, it's that everyone at the top of the CDC needs to be fired. It's being far too generous to characterize their constant stream of lies as misinterpretations and typos. And that's a pretty strong statement, constant stream of lies. But, you know, Dr. Paul, we've been covering this very closely for the last year. Some might say we're too obsessed with it, but it seems to me, at least, that it's the greatest threat that we've seen to our liberty in a long time. And that's why we're so focused. So calling it a constant stream of lies, and we can go into some of the specifics that he points out about this, but it's definitely not, I don't think, an understatement to say this. It's been a constant stream of lies. And now we're at the point, I think we've started talking about it. We talked about it yesterday. Now we're at the point where there needs to be some justice done as we're seeing the mistakes that are happening.
You know, and Thomas made a few comments, too, about the reporting of this information, which has always been a challenge for us, and because they report information on number of cases and number of deaths and never really questioning the testing process and the treatment process and the danger of lockdown. But he does make a few points there that there was a gross distortion, just part of that whole scheme to terrify people and get people to roll over and say, well, this is bad. Giving up a little liberty is no big deal. I heard that after 9/11. What's the matter with sacrificing a little liberty? We have to be safe. Well, that whole thought has to be challenged constantly.
It does. And Massey, you know, he cited over these last few weeks and months several things. One is keeping schools closed, regardless of what we know now that children are thankfully are not susceptible, with very few exceptions, to this disease, but keeping it closed nevertheless. He talks about a CDC estimate that the risk of getting transmission of coronavirus outdoors is 10%. which is, we know, is grossly exaggerated. They even said that it might be 1,000 times less than that. And the other one is the faking of the idea that you should get your Pfizer vaccine, even if you've already recovered from the coronavirus. And we talked about a study yesterday that debunked that idea. The fact is that having had the virus and getting over it is much better immunity even than the vaccines. But the scariest part, Dr. Paul, is with all of these objectively false statements and out-and-out lies and obfuscations from the CDC, we've still been told if you say anything against the CDC, you will be kicked off of social media and you therefore will not have a platform. And that's the most chilling aspect of it, because if the CDC was full of bogus information, it's our obligation, you know, as citizens to try to pick it out and talk it out and alert others to it. But the people who control the strings of conversation, they say, no, you can't do that. You can't exercise that that freedom on our platforms, even as we know now that that Zuckerberg was, emailing Fauci all the time. How can we help you? What can we do? What can we do? So it's a bad situation.
You know, it's pretty amazing what they've accomplished, the intimidation and the universal answer to anybody who critiques it, that you're not allowed to do it. So they have been. This is censorship. And you say, and they have it set up perfectly to make it a little more difficult to attack, because they say, well, that's a private company. Why you should worry about it? But the more you look into it, you find out that social media is not does not fit the category of a private company. I mean, there's and then when you think of what they're protecting, the establishment, they're pretty good organizers, because you have the pharmaceutical industry, you have the social media institution, you have the bureaucrats coming together, and they have been pretty consistent. That's why they got away with this, because they did accomplish their task of terrifying the people. But I think that's cracking, and we're going to mention here in a second or two, you know, where some of those cracks are occurring. And we've all already witnessed this, that the people are waking up. It's still a struggle. It's when you give up something like we as a people gave up a year or so ago, it's easy to do it in a day or two, just scare the living daylights out of the people. Recovering it is very, very difficult. The convincing, okay, we're safe. And we've talked a little bit about individuals who feel like they're naked if they don't have their mask on. And they don't even argue the case. Well, I'm protecting others. I'm protecting myself. They just say, I feel better. So they've been intimidated. That's a real challenge for us and everybody who wants to get us back, into a slightly more normal situation.
Yeah. And you add in all the fear that they've created and all of the confusion that they've created. And then I think the secret sauce, Dr. Paul, is adding in the politics. And you've mentioned this a couple times this week, and it's worth repeating, is this latest Gallup poll that shows that 71% of Democrats thinks that we should still stay inside our houses. You know, this has become such a political thing. It's become a get rid of Trump thing, as we know from all of last year. So adding the politics to the mix, I think, makes it particularly toxic. But but I think we will move on to the second topic, which is a little more upbeat. And this is uncharacteristic, because Mercola, the person we're going to talk about his article, and we saw this on Lou Rockwell today, is usually pretty a little pessimistic, maybe. But
right.
Yeah, but he had a good article, Dr. Paul, right?
Yes, it's very good, because he's making the point that we make frequently. You know, protesting can be very good. Numbers are important. I talk about prevailing attitudes. The prevailing attitude in economics is Keynesian economics, and that's all you have in Washington. They're very, very important. But you also have to have somebody in leadership position, which is a smaller number of people. Actually, the economic situation was changed by the leadership being in our universities, all the well-known professors, and this is what you have to do, deficits don't matter, and all that kind of stuff. So, but, and I think Joe does that on this one. he mentioned this. He says mass protests can end vaccine passports. And then he goes and he cites the several places where they've been successful and the states have been changing it, you know. But, you know, in a way, you could pick out as one of the top leaders on this was DeSantis in Florida. You know, yeah. He stood up against it where there was, you know, you mentioned just a minute ago of, you know, if you don't go along with this, you can be punished, and you can be punished politically, on economically, and financially, and everything. But he did it, and it's a little bit of contagion. Now we're seeing larger crowds, and that's what Mercola was excited about. A lot of people are coming out now, and I think he even mentioned some worldwide events where people have finally had enough. You know, it's still amazing, though, is let's say that we're basically right about a lot of the lockdown being totally unnecessary and concocted. Isn't it amazing how far that can go? It's a sort of a measurement of the gullibility and how easy it is to just terrorize a nation, scare them to death to wanting to give up their liberties. Of course, there have been times in history, this is well known, just scare them and they will march themselves to the gallows. You know, it's almost like they don't want to stand up. And they think that the government will take care of them. So it's not a simple little task of having a demonstration that's going your way. People philosophically have to change the attitude about the role of government.
And, you know, it's very clever because there's a very small layer of society that is extraordinarily motivated by politics. Unfortunately, they have authoritarian instincts. And the vast majority of the population, because of things that you always point out, the problems with inflation, the destruction of the middle class, they're too busy trying to earn a living, you know, and trying to keep their jobs. They can't at the drop of a hat jump out into the streets and protest. So our side, the pro-liberty side, is at a disadvantage. Now, you mentioned DeSantis, and we know now from the emails that Fauci was seething behind the scenes at what DeSantis was doing. I think he knew that the gig was up. When he saw what DeSantis was about to do. And that's why he was plotting behind the scenes to do whatever he could to stop it. But in Dr. Mercola's article, I think it is encouraging because he talked about a protest in London at the end of May of this year, where it was just a couple of hundred people, and they went into the Westfield shopping mall in London protesting in favor of no vaccine passport. And the next day, the UK government said it's going to scrap its plan for vaccine passports. Now, we don't know about a direct cause and effect, but the good news is that it doesn't take 800,000 people, you know, marching through. It just takes a few people doing some smart little things, smart little protests to get attention that does get the attention. That doesn't mean that the UK government's going to give up forever. They've got to be on their guard, but you have to add and build on these small victories until you get, you know, enough power to really overturn it.
You know, so. there is something very important about a leader standing up and saying something, and then people, shift their viewpoints and become you're used to thinking in the way the person is talking. But there's also this situation where, you have a DeSantis come along and you have other people in the country and they're going along because they've been only intimidated. But when somebody stands up and goes forward and speaks it out, all of a sudden, it isn't so much that they've just immediately converted people. It makes people feel a little more comfortable in saying, you know, he's saying what I really believe. And then they get a little bit of courage and they speak out. So regardless of what the mechanics of how the view shifts, the whole thing is who's speaking the truth and who can convince the people. So they throw the word around a whole lot, the lies and innuendos and the threats and all this. But ultimately, I think the people are pretty darn smart. One time I was asked by a student after I gave one of the debates. And he says he really liked me talking and defending the Constitution. And I said, well, so-and-so just said the same thing. He was for the Constitution. I said, why aren't you over there telling him that you were glad he was talking about this? He says, I didn't believe him. So there's something about it. Words aren't enough. I think there's something about the way people are told and people are known, at least in the people who love freedom, they can sort it out. And of course, that's what the voters have to put up with all the time. They listen to all the nonsense. And I think this, what I'm talking about, certainly happened in the Soviet system. You know, they listened to the government and they did what they were told and all. And then as soon as you read and hear stories about what they were really thinking, they had their own jokes and all their position. They knew exactly what they believed in. And magically, even for that system, you know, it collapsed in 1989, 1990. So this hope, what we're seeing right now, and Mercola is, I think, on the track of this, we're winning some of these fights, and we need more momentum. So I hope we can add to that momentum and reject all that foolishness.
If there's one thing we learned from your two Republican presidential campaigns, Dr. Paul, is that a decentralized group can often be extremely creative and think of things that you would never have with a sort of top-down, heavily bureaucratized organization. You know, the people, I was always amazed at the things that people came up with. When we were a minority, you were a minority, but somehow they got international attention because they were very clever and did clever things. And I think that should be encouraging to people now. Think up something unusual, get together with a few friends.
Right.
But one thing you may not want to get together with a few friends is if you're going to Washington State, because Dr. Paul, you know, and our friend Norman Singleton sent this over to us yesterday. But Washington State, they're desperate for you to get that jab. So what they're offering is free marijuana. If you get your COVID shot, they're going to give you marijuana. I think that even trumps the free burger that Cuomo is going to give you in New York.
Yeah, this to me looks like a desperate last effort. And you know, I say, wow, this is really, you know, really, why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? But, you know, in a way, it shows their desperation. And even though it's silly and doesn't make any sense, and this is not the way a country should run, and you know, marijuana and a lot of other things that they make illegal, and there's no actual victim. The solution, of course, there is letting everybody do what they want and take their own risk and suffer the consequences if they hurt themselves, not the government. So this to me is sort of you know, silly and stupid and all that. Marijuana, and go ahead, now you can get your shot. What is wrong with this shot that you have to give me marijuana? Oh, that's, well, you know, we got to bribe you. And they've been doing it with alcohol and different things like that. I just wonder whether that's ever happened before, that you had to bribe people to get a vaccination. And maybe the people are on to something. Maybe the people aren't believing the government. But there's still been a lot of people who've lined up. They want their shot. So it's sort of pathetic, but I think we should look at it as positive. It's end of the line, but be prepared. There will be another enemy, whether it's going to be medical or non-medical or foreign policy, but there's going to be another enemy to scare the people. And unfortunately, it'll probably be bipartisan right now. It's the spending in Congress. They ought to spend more time telling the danger of spending and the growth of government. And yet it's their strong bipartisan effort to make the government bigger, spend more money, and convince people that they, as if everybody's on marijuana, deficits don't matter. Just print the money. Everybody's going to be happy.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's not an exact quote, but what somebody said earlier is, can you imagine if they found a cure for cancer? Do you think that they'd really have to bribe people with marijuana and beer and everything to get them to take it, you know, the real cure? So something's wrong here. The latest numbers on vaccine intake are extremely low. It's cratering. People are not lining up. And there are a number of reasons for that. One of them is that finally the truth is coming out, thanks to people like Massey and Senator Paul and others. The truth is coming out that if you've had it, you've got immunity and you don't need a shot after that. and people were being deceived by the so-called authorities about that. But, you know, that's the carrot. Your marijuana is the carrot. And President Biden came out yesterday afternoon with a stick, and he tweeted, folks, the Delta variant, you know, doesn't that sound scary? The Delta variant, a highly infectious COVID-19 strain, is spreading rapidly among young people between 12 and 20 in the UK. If you're young and you haven't got your shot yet, it really is time. It's the best way to protect yourself and those you love. You know, that, of course, that's someone call it, instead of a variant, they call it a scariant, you know, and that's basically what he's doing here. And we talked about yesterday what's happening with young people in the country. It was a lie when Rochelle Walensky said that young people are flooding the ERs, the emergency rooms. We use the CDC's own numbers to show what a lie it is. So there's a lot of carrots and stick. And as you started out with this segment, Dr. Paul, they look a lot more desperate with time.
Yeah. You know, the marijuana thing is really bizarre, because when you think back, excuse me, not too many years ago, marijuana was a deadly drug, and it was so dangerous that if you were 18, 17, or a kid and had a joint, you could go to prison for a long period of time. You were a vicious felon. And then I got to thinking, well, maybe it's a little bit like COVID. You know, marijuana wasn't the problem. It was the lockdown. It were the laws and the rules. It's sort of like the prohibition of alcohol. Alcohol is horrible. It damages a lot of lives. But prohibition was much worse, and the people had to wake up to it. And now, the same way with COVID. COVID had some danger to it, a lot less than they claim. But the lockdown was the problem. It's the reaction to it, the excuse for doing things that they would have more trouble doing. And that is convince the people to roll over, because we know what's best for you and we will take care of you.
Yes. Well, for our last segment, Dr. Paul, we've talked about this a lot. We've talked about, you know, cui bono, who benefits, who's making lots of money from this, from the pandemic. And we know, obviously, the big pharma has made tons and tons of money selling these experimental shots. But that's not all. What about the face mask people? They've made billions and billions of dollars, and all those face masks are thrown in the parking lot, thrown in the ocean. They're killing all the sea turtles and killing the whales and this and that. But there's another group that's really gone to the bank, Dr. Paul, and that is the people who sell plexiglass. Everywhere you go, you see plexiglass. I hate it. You know, I hate when I go to the store, because I like to, you know, help them bag my groceries, you know, get out of there quick. And you reach over there to grab it, and boom, you hit a plexiglass. But we looked at an article that Bloomberg put out today. Sales of plexiglass tripled to roughly $750 million in the U.S. because everyone was clamoring for plexiglass.
You'd think the environmentalists would get involved in this and say, some of this stuff isn't even good for the environment. Even those masks, like you mentioned, they're not good for the environment. And disposing of that is not very good. And it's also a detriment. It's a total failure. And yesterday we talked about the German testing and all this lockdown and testing and masks doesn't do any good. But once again, Mercola is citing the places where things are improving, and that's the good news. And we want to continue that, because I really do believe that common sense and telling the truth is on our side, and that should go a long way. Sometimes it's frustratingly slow, but ultimately, I think truth does win out. There's unfortunately so much suffering in between. Whether it's the mistakes we make in foreign policy, there's so much suffering until people realize it's stupid on what we're doing. In the same way on economic policies, you know, right now, we're doing more and more economic interventionism, and that's to me a time bomb, and it's going to take a long time to get rid of all the mistakes made in the economy for the last 30, 40, 50 years, but it will have to happen. And these social mistakes and how we have allowed this weird way of censoring us, that we that it's so intimidating. It has to be equal to, in some ways, to the Soviet system, how people got locked down and in prison, but it was usually a government official. Now it's a pseudo-government official. It's somebody who depends on the government for power, whether it's local government or whether it's big business.
And the one good thing, and this is Bloomberg, which is about as mainstream as you can get, is they're starting to quote people who are going against the narrative. And in this case, the article that we saw this morning, Joseph Allen, he's with Harvard's Chan School of Public Health, so my guess is no slouch, and he said, there's not a single study showing that clear plastic barriers actually stop the spread of the virus. Here's a quote. We spent a lot of time and money focused on hygiene theater. The danger is we didn't deploy the resources to address the real threat, which was airborne transmission. So in the rush to get the plexiglass, in the rush to get the mask, in the rush to spray and wipe everything 48,000 times and put all kinds of horrible chemicals on our hands as sanitizers, we missed the big picture, and that is unfortunately what hysteria does. Hysteria tied up, of course, with the propaganda of the media. So I guess we can be happy that finally some people like Dr. Allen are speaking out about this.
Yeah. Well, when the dust settles, we'll find out that the lockdown was so much more dangerous. And you would not have lockdown if you didn't have big government, if you didn't have the CDC, and you didn't have Dr. Fauci earning his big buck. And you didn't have the corporations in bed with the government. It just wouldn't happen if you didn't have the inflation to pay for all this nonsense. Think of all the malinvestment, the amount of money that has gone into this, and then they come up with the stupidity of paying people to stay at home, and then they have a shortage of workers when people should be looking for a job. It is totally nuts. It defies all sense of logic. And I just believe so sincerely that if people were free to make their own decisions and take care of themselves and act responsibly, it could not be as bad as what we're putting up with now. And the craziness that we put up with in the last 100 years or more with our foreign policy, which is something that is still around that we have to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think are we ready to close, Dr. Paul?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, I would just thank our listeners today, not viewers, but thank our listeners today. I must confess, I am not in a sport coat as I normally am because we're doing audio. So that's nicer, but we lose some of the dynamics when we do it audio only. But we still thank all of you, and we're happy that you are joining us. I will say, I don't want to tease this too much, but we have a couple of very big announcements coming up in the next few days, perhaps at the very beginning of next week. There are going to be some RPI events this summer, and they're going to be very exciting. We're working very hard to put things together. But as soon as we can, we will let you know. And Dr. Paul, I'm so excited about seeing our friends again after this devastating year of being shut up and not allowed to do anything. So watch this space. Dr. Paul, over to you.
Very, very good. And I think the information you just gave us, Daniel, is part of the positive aspect of this, that Mercola wanted to talk about. Things are opening up, and literally places where we wanted to go and attend and visit have called us and say, hey, no, look, things are getting better. And then I expressed to Daniel, I say, yeah, that's good, and I'm excited about it. But isn't it a shame that we feel good about getting a little bit of our freedom back again? We're supposed to start with freedom. That's what the revolution was all about. But now we're just trying and struggle to get bits and pieces back again. But it's alive and well, and there's a lot of people out there. A lot of people are, have a distortion and of what's going on, and have too much trust in the government. But it'll take time, and that's what we're doing this show and the RPI exists for, is try to introduce the ideas that can counteract big government ideas. Because one shortcoming that we have had for constitutionalists and libertarians is that we are said to be less compassionate, and we don't care about people. But the plain truth is if you do care about people, you will think about a free society. And one thing is, it's always much safer, there's less war, and there's more prosperity. And then we don't always win these arguments. Just think of the last 100 years. Libertarians have been around for a long time, but we just haven't done a really good job to say, you know, reject authoritarianism. And of course, that's what the bottom line is for me, is lessons have to be learned, and give up hope that you're going to get a free lunch by the government taking away your liberty. Doesn't work. And it does undermines the spirit of the Constitution. And that is, hopeful that we can reverse that. But I do want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.